going to do cooped up in the shelter at Korolev? Trudy and Halleck and that jerk Obermann. If Nate lays a hand on her, I'll break every bone in his frigging body. Twice. Over the curve of the horizon, he saw the worn, slumped mountains of Korolev's ring wall. Then the floor of the crater came into view, and there was the hopper, parked between the foundation slab and the rounded hump of the shelter. Dumbass Obermann didn't even have the brains to use the foundation as a landing pad, Grant said to himself.
Well, this is cozy, Obermann said,
once they had taken off their suits and peeled out of their thermal undergarments. Trudy looked around and saw that the shelter was identical to the one at Mendeleev. Strictly utilitarian. A food freezer, a microwave cooker, a table with four flimsy chairs, a desk-type console with a wall screen above it, four bunks built into the wall, two uppers and two lowers. The tiny chamber smelled of the sharp tang of gunpowder. Their three spacesuits hung by the airlock hatch, their boots and leggings spattered with gray lunar dust.
How long will we be here? Trudy asked.
Mrs. Halleck blinked at her question.
I don't really know. I'll have to call Cellini and ask for an emergency rescue flight.
Do you think they'd come here?
They'll have to. They can't leave us here to die. I'm not some anonymous technician. I'll call the chief administrator of the IAA if I have to.
Trudy wished she felt as confident as Mrs. Halleck. But she's an important person, Trudy told herself. She's right. I'm just an anonymous astronomer as far as the rest of the world is concerned. But she's important. They'll send the flight here to rescue her. And the two of us with her. Obermann sat on the edge of one of the lower-tier bunks.
Okay, Mrs. H., he said, pointing to the console and its computer. You start calling.
With a leering grin in Trudy's direction, he went on.
I suppose we'll have to spend a couple of nights here.
Grant landed the hopper squarely in the center of the foundation slab, then climbed down the hopper's ladder and stepped to the edge of the concrete. He hopped down to the ground in dreamy lunar slow motion and strode toward the shelter's airlock, kicking up puffs of dust with each step.
Nobody's going to land a lobber there, he said to himself with grim satisfaction. If anybody's going to leave here, they're going out with me.
He reached the hopper Obermann had used and ducked beneath its platform. It was awkward work in the spacesuit, but Grant managed to open the liquid oxygen tank enough to start a thin stream of LOX leaking out of it. The cryogenic fluid flashed into the vacuum immediately. Nodding inside his helmet, Grant said to himself, Nate won't be able to go anywhere with that bird. Confrontation. Anita Halleck stared at the grainy image in the shelter's phone screen. Her personal assistant, a smooth-faced Vietnamese sitting safe in his office back in Zurich, looked slightly perturbed.
It's the weekend here, Mrs. Halleck, he explained. The IAA's chief administrator is at his home in Buenos Aires. That's a 5-hour time difference from here, you understand. Most of her staff has gone for the weekend, scattered all across the map.
You must get to her at once, Halleck demanded, her voice iron-hard, and get her to contact Cellini's governing council and arrange a rescue flight here. My life depends on it.
Yes, ma'am, I'll do my very best, said her assistant.
Good.
His left eyebrow arching a bare millimeter, the assistant added,
it might take a little time, however.
Halleck's lips compressed into a thin, angry line. Then she replied,
this is an emergency. You stay on the phone until Cellini tells you when I can expect a flight to land here and rescue me.
Of course, Mrs. Halleck.
And keep me informed every step of the way.
Certainly, ma'am.
Halleck cut the connection and swiveled a desk chair to face Trudy and Obermann.
Bureaucrats, she muttered. But they'll send a lobber here, won't they? Trudy asked,
trying to keep the fear out of her voice.
Sooner or later, said Halleck.
Still sitting on the lower bunk, Obermann shrugged unconcernedly.
We're going to be here for a couple of days, I bet. Might as well make ourselves comfortable.
He patted the mattress and grinned again at Trudy. Trudy turned away from him, but Halleck said,
I suppose you're right. Could be fun. The three of us together, said Obermann.
Halleck glared at him.
Don't be ridiculous.
Before Obermann could reply,
Trudy noticed the light on the control pad on the wall next to the airlock hatch suddenly went from green to amber. Before she could say anything, it flicked to red. Alec noticed it, too.
"Someone's using the airlock."
Oberman jumped to his feet. "Grant," he muttered.
"Gotta be."
The three of them stared at the control pad as it cycled from red through amber and finally to green once again. The hatch slid open, and a space-suited figure stepped into the shelter. It was impossible to make out his face behind the heavily tinted bubble of his helmet, but Trudy read the name tag on the chest of his grimy suit. Simpson.
"Grant!"
Trudy called. The figure unlocked the helmet and lifted it off his head. Grant Simpson's darkly bearded face looked grim.
"Grant!"
Trudy said again, a gust of relief surging through her. She ran to him. Oberman's eyes flicked around the room. "Sit down, Nate," Grant commanded. "Just sit down and you won't get hurt."
"What do you mean?"
Oberman asked. But he sat back on the bunk. Turning to Trudy, Grant asked, "You okay?"
"Yes,"
she said. "Help me out of this suit." Trudy moved behind him. Oberman remained seated on his bunk. Halleck stood uncertainly by the console. As Trudy unlatched the life support backpack, the phone chimed.
"Go ahead and answer it," Grant told Halleck.
She turned and pressed the keypad. A woman's face appeared on the screen, sleek chestnut hair perfectly coiffed, golden tan, wearing an expensive-looking blouse of sky blue. She looked distressed.
"Mrs. Halleck, your assistant said you're in trouble? Some sort of emergency?"
Grant strode to the desk, clomping in his spacesuit's boots.
"There's been a mistake, ma'am. Mrs. Halleck isn't in trouble."
"And who are you?" the woman asked. "What's this?"
Grant cut the connection. Then he smashed the phone screen with a gloved fist. It exploded in shards of plastic. Halleck shrieked,
"What are you doing?"
"Have you ever heard of roid rage?" Grant asked, smiling maliciously. "I've been taking steroids for a long time, lady, and I'm getting goddamned furious with you."
Oberman got to his feet.
"Hold on, Grant. Take it easy."
Faster than Trudy thought possible for a man wearing a spacesuit, Grant crossed the tiny shelter in four swift steps and swung his still-gloved right fist into Oberman's face before the man could raise his hands to defend himself. The solid thunk of the blow made Trudy wince. Oberman's head snapped back, and he toppled backward onto the bunk. Stomping back toward Halleck, Grant said,
"I want to know what your nanobugs are all about, now."
Halleck cringed back toward the desk.
"You're insane!"
Grant picked up the flimsy desk chair and threw it across the shelter. It banged against the airlock hatch.
"Now, damn it!" he roared. "Start talking!"
Halleck's eyes were wide with fright, but she sputtered,
I don't know what you're talking about."
Grant gripped her shoulder painfully and forced her to sit on the edge of the console. "You brought the nanomachines to Farside," he said,
"and you got that idiot to spread them around for you."
Halleck's voice froze in her throat. "What do the nanos do? How long do they last? What are they programmed for?"
"You're hurting me."
"I'll break both your arms," Grant snarled.
Trudy went to him.
"Grant, please."
He pushed her away. Turning back to Halleck,
"I want the truth out of you, lady. The truth, or so help me, you'll die right here and now."
Anita Halleck fainted. The truth. Grant let Halleck slide slowly to the floor. Trudy looked from her unconscious body to Oberman, still sprawled across the bunk, and then stared into Grant's darkly frightening face.
"Grant, you'll kill her."
He scowled down at Halleck's body, then said to Trudy, "Help me out of this suit." He peeled off his gloves, and Trudy helped lift the hard shell of the suit's torso over his head. Halleck remained on the floor, her eyes shut. Oberman groaned and tried to sit up. He slid off the bunk and onto the floor. "Throw some water on her," Grant said to Trudy. Halleck's eyes snapped open. With a glance at Oberman, who sat at the foot of the bunk rubbing his bruised jaw, Grant slid his arms under Halleck's shoulders and hauled her to her feet. Trudy rushed to the desk chair, righted it, and rolled it toward them. Grant pushed Halleck roughly onto the chair. She glared up at him.
"You were going to tell me about the nanomachines," Grant said. Halleck tried to